Hey guys, how's it going today? This is Roberto Dart back again with another TechView Vlogcast for Saturday, September 27th. How's everybody doing? Hope this day finds you well. Alright, so fall is in the air. Yes, it is. Cooling down some, but today we got a hell of a show planned for you. It's quite lengthy as well. Some people have said that my vlogcasts were not long enough. And then they were also saying I don't show myself in my vlogcast. Who wants to look at this? Talk. Nobody does. You guys like to see pages of code and everything else when I talk, and that's what you're going to get. Alright. So, first order of business. Jack Kirby and Marvel settle their differences. Yes, days before the Supreme Court was supposed to hear the case, they went and settled. So, what was the case about? Well, the Jack Kirby estate was claiming that they own rights to Spider-Man, The Incredible Hulk, Captain America, any work that Jack Kirby did for Marvel. Which Marvel disagreed with that, and so, you know, the whole thing went to court. And that was about it. But the judge ruled in the first case that Marvel did own all the characters that Jack Kirby created, because Jack Kirby worked for Marvel at the time. Hey. But Jack Kirby's estate disagreed. They decided to take it for a hearing to the Supreme Court. And Lord knows if the Supreme Court was going to hear it or not, because they were actually supposed to make a decision in a couple days on whether they were going to hear it or not. But it's been settled, so they don't have to worry about that. No details of the settlement have been released. And so, without any kind of information, you know, that's pretty much all I can comment on it. So, yay Marvel. Yay Jack Kirby estate. Move on with life, that's the way you do it. Alright, so, second, what is going on in the Apple world today? Well, as you guys have been following Apple for the last few days, Apple has had a hell of a week, man. First of all, their iOS 8.0.1 update broke. And I'm not talking about just broke. It broke in a big way. And, yikes. Anyway, but they removed it. They uploaded a new one, 8.0.2, although some people still say they're having some problems with that update as well. Apple created the, Apple fixed the blocked install problem, and they didn't fix the Wi-Fi reception or the cellular service glitch in iOS 8. So, well, at least they got one out of three fixed. And the new iPhone 6 Plus bends. It bends. Wow, if you put it in your pocket for a long period of time, it will bend, it will warp, and you know, it will be a little while before we see what happens with that, whether it becomes a major problem or not, but we'll see if Apple bends under the pressure of its users to fix the problem. Alright, another thing bad for Apple was that it was actually discovered through emails, disclosed emails and everything, that Apple knew of the security exploit for the iCloud vulnerability that a lot of celebrities had their nude photos shared online. And so, yeah, come to find out Apple knew about that a while ago. Damn, that sucks. Sucks to be Apple this week, man. They had a very bad week. But it presents a bigger problem here. Okay, yeah, okay, Apple is in the wrong for the security update, for not securing their software and ignoring the vulnerability report from the security research firm. But who in the hell told these celebrities it was a good idea to upload nude photos of yourself? I mean, damn. It doesn't take a genius to figure out you don't store nude photos of yourself online. But they did it. They got released. And it's been a headache for a lot of people. But, you know, that's what happens when you store nude photos online. I think Sidekick back in the day had something similar happen to them. Or I don't think it was nude photos, though. I think it was more or less like celebrity contacts or something like that. Sidekick was a phone back in the early 2000s, 1999. It was actually an awesome fucking phone. I had one of those things, and I loved it. It was one of the very first smartphones that ever came out. Sidekick tried to make a comeback with an Android phone. It didn't work out for them, and so Microsoft bought them out. But it was a damn good phone. Danger Incorporated was the name of the company. But, you know, just another company that Microsoft bought that produced awesome products, but in the end they just couldn't overcome. Alright. So, next up, apparently some YouTuber got in trouble for doing an install video on how to install Yosemite and OS X Yosemite on Apple hardware. And because the thing is, with the beta contract or beta agreement, you agree not to do any kind of screencast, screenshots, or any of that kind of thing with OS X Yosemite. So we'll see in a little while whether YouTube pulls it down. They're not budging so far. So I imagine it'll just be a couple days before they get served with a DMCA takedown order, and they're going to be forced to remove it anyway. So, but that's the thing about beta agreements too, people. Do not, I mean, if you're a technology person and you get excited about technology, why are you going to agree that you cannot do a screencast, take screenshots, or write about the product? I mean, that's just stupid to me. Okay, you have to go through Apple in order to get any of that stuff released, and if the agreement says you can't do it, then you can't do it. And I'm actually surprised that people, technology bloggers and journalists, actually agree to those terms. But they did, and, you know, I'm that type of guy. You make an agreement, you have to stick with it. And they agreed not to do the screencast, screenshots, or write about it. So, nobody's fault but your own, dude. Sorry. You screwed up. I imagine all that ad revenue will now be reversed and all that other good crap. But once again, Apple sticks it to a user. Alright, what else is going on in the technology world? Well, the Debian project has decided to go with the GNOME desktop for their user interface. Was that really a surprise coming? No. Because the XFCE project is kind of stagnant right now. There's really nothing coming out of them. There is a lot of patches and a lot of application updates being uploaded to the source repository, but nothing's been rolled out yet. The last stable release of XFCE 4.10 was released in 2012. We ship the 4.11 and Black Lab Linux, but that's neither here nor there. A lot of people do not like to release patches and updates compiled directly from server, because the problem with that is sometimes these things, when you do updates, like when they do release 4.12, you take the chance of something breaking. So you won't find many stable distributions that will do that. And when they don't do that, I mean, they have to look for other alternatives. They have to look for the best solution for their services. Like, we switched to GNOME 3, but we did a heavily modified GNOME 3. It looks nothing like what you would get from the GNOME project. Although we still managed to stay compatible with all GNOME extensions and with a GNOME desktop. And it doesn't break when you update. So, hey, that's cool for us. And cool for you guys who use Black Lab Linux. So, yeah, Debian's going with GNOME 3. Good choice for them. I hope it works out for them. I'm sure it will. The Debian people are not stupid, so I don't think that you're going to have that major ish with Debian being based on Nome. Although it did, and I'm surprised because it did increase the ISO size a lot. And when we did Nome 3, it didn't increase it, but maybe less than a gig. But with Debian, it added on like 2 or 3 gigs. I don't know what the hell they put in there, but it really increased the size of their ISO. But the ISO, for those of you that don't know what an ISO is an image file that you download to your computer, you burn it to a live CD, you burn it to a CD or a DVD, and you can boot your computer from it. Or it allows you to install operating systems like Linux, Windows, you can do that with Windows as well, PCBSD, FreeBSD, etc., etc., etc. So that's what that's for. A live CD is actually a running system, so you can actually test it before you do the install into your hard drive. Alright, so with other Linux news, we got the bash bug called Shellshocked out there. Alright, everybody's panicking over this one. And yes, if you make it a habit of running unsecured servers, then you're going to be in trouble. Okay, but Red Hat, Ubuntu, Black Lab Linux, yes we did, Mint, all those have released updated bash packages, so it's pretty much closed for us. But the problem is people who run outdated servers and who don't update the crap. This might can execute malicious code in your server and through bash. Alright, so it's a nasty worm, but everybody's pretty much got fixed. Apple says it's not an issue for them, although they use bash, but they're going to release a fixed bundle for OS X users, because OS X has FreeBSD and Mach as its base, and we'll go over what that means later. Too much to get into right now. So we're not going to worry about it. All right, on the Microsoft front, it's actually been pretty quiet this week. Microsoft, though, in the world of Microsoft, Steve Ballmer has taken the Clippers off of the Mac operating system and iOS. All the Clippers, the players, and everybody are only allowed to own Windows computers because he claims Apple security is inferior. You can't trust their updates, you can't trust their software, and he has a point at this point. Get it? Point at this point? Ha 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 ha. As many of you know, Ballmer bought the Clippers from that racist dude, Sterling. And, well, I don't know if he's really racist or not. I mean, you know, he made a couple racist comments, and the NBA kicked him out, but, you know, in the end, they clipped his wings. Yeah, I'm just full of them tonight, aren't I? Clipped his wings. All right. So that's about it for the technology world. Now let's go ahead and I want to talk about something that, you know, some of you won't care about. So before we get to our questions, I only got two of those tonight. Retro Infinity and Amiga Games is part of a company called RIT. Okay, WRIT, it's Writers Film Group. They own Front Row Networks, who supposedly does 3D concerts, but I've never seen any of their products. So, and on the Retro Infinity front and Amiga Games part of it, you won't see any product either. Although they did design this thing to have the Amiga logo placed on NASCAR and the Retro Infinity logo put on a NASCAR race car. So it's completely ridiculous. Okay, it looks ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Okay, it's not even a good form of promotion. because most of the people that watch NASCAR are not technology guys, and they don't care about retro games. Long as they got their Xbox at home, or their PlayStation 4, they happy. Okay? They're not gonna play retro games. And the leader of this group is a guy named Bill McEwen. Right? Now, Bill, bless the man's heart, he tries. He tries really hard. But he is such a idiot. Okay? First of all, if you look at his bio, if you go to Investor Hub, just Google RIT, W-R-I-T, Investor Hub, and read the comedy that goes on there. Okay, it really is ridiculous. But Bill McEwen, the guy that leads Amiga Games, okay, he's tried to distance himself from it, but it's come out pretty clear. He's in charge of that. I'm not even going to call it a business. Alright. That venture. Actually, venture is too kind of word, too. What's the word for it? Joke? Maybe? Alright, we'll stick with joke. Anyway, Bill McEwen is the jackass in charge of it. And, he actually claims in his company bio that he came up with the first app store 10 years before Apple do it. Before Apple did it. That's bullshit. Okay, no, he did not. The first person to come up with an app store, with a working app store, was a company called Pageant. And their app store was called App Warrior or something like that. I forget what it was called. But anyway, it was a program for Next Step. And Next Step was Steve Jobs' precursor before he came back to Apple with a company called Next Computer, or Next Software, as it became known towards the very end there. But it was, Pageant's product was released at Next World 1993. And back then, because I remember that product from back then, I'm going to, little clue to how old I am there. It was a pretty full-functioning app store. And we see where Steve Jobs got his inspiration from, which was one Pageant's product. Alright. So, actually, Steve Jobs, to all the man's credit, he came up, or he debuted the very first app store in 1993. Alright. This was even before Oracle's product, the network computer that came out in 1995-1996, that was actually an awesome product. I liked the network computer idea. It was a very good system, and if you go, you can actually find it, but regardless, that's what we're talking about. But so Bill McEwen came up with the first app store. Okay, this is a man that has run, he was a truck driver before he went to work with Gateway. Okay, and then he went ahead and licensed the Amiga IP from Gateway, now Acer, and ran it into the ground. This guy is so freaking ignorant, he could not even come up with a working product. Okay, when he was with Amiga. Then he lost the Amiga OS to Hyperion Entertainment in a lawsuit. Okay. And yet, he came up with the first app store. He also goes on to tell a bunch of other lies that he's consulted for AT&T, consulted for Microsoft, consulted for all these other companies, which he never has done, okay? Because anybody that knows the technology world, okay, if you're going to consult for big companies like AT&T and Microsoft, you have to be a success. S-U-C-C-E-S-S. Success. Okay? He never has had a successful product. He's never had a successful company. Amiga Incorporated is pretty much inactive. He has no trademarks. He has no IP. The guy is a loser. He's never had a successful company. And yet, these big companies supposedly depend on him to consult with them and teach them how to become a success when he never has before. Okay, if he wants to claim that, all right, then what I would do if I was Microsoft, okay, I would sit there and say, yeah, we consulted with him on the Vista product or the Millennium product, Windows ME. I mean, come on. And the whole thing's, like I said, it's just a joke. If you go read it, it's entertaining at that. I mean, it makes you facepalm yourself and be like, oh my God, this guy's he's serious. And that's the bad part. He seriously believes it. Now, he's a used car salesman. He's very successful at that. I'm not even going to say he's a used car salesman on Steve Jobs level, because there's nobody on Steve Jobs level. He's much lower than that. He's that guy up the road from me with the three cars in his shop that he tries to sell that have sat up there for over a year. That's pretty much what Bill McEwen does. So if you want a good form of entertainment, go see RIT. Don't invest in it, man. It's a penny stock company, but it really is not worth investing in it, because they're never going to have a product. Now, if Bill McEwen manages to actually get a product out there, a successful product, then I will apologize to the man and say, you know what? You're not as big a loser as I thought you were. But until then, and from the way his habits roll, I'm not going to have to worry about that at all. So, that's just that. But seriously, good source of entertainment. Go watch it. Go watch the entire Amiga community, man. It is hilarious what these people believe, it's just, oh my God. It's incredible. But Retro Infinity and Amiga Games, gotta love it, is better than any drama you'll find on TV. Alright. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about is I actually got a Firebee, which is the Atari knockoff. Now, of course, I would never use it as a mainstream computer. It's just something to play with, turn on every once in a while, and, you know, just what good things the thing does, you know what I mean? It's just good for looking at old stuff. It sits in there with my Octane and with my Indigo. It's just nothing I would use for serious computing, because for that I have Black Lab Linux for serious computing. Yeah. Thumbs up. Now let's get on with the questions of the day. Like I said, I only got two today. Alyssa Peterson asked me, what is the best computer that offers the most bang for the buck? Well, for me, I've always liked Acer machines. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a partner with Acer and they bundle Black Lab Linux. I don't, you know, that's, but seriously, those are pretty good machines. And they're pretty powerful machines. So, yeah, if you explore Tiger Direct and all these other computer shops, you can find better machines. If you're looking for pre-installed machines with Linux on it, go to http://www.pc-opensystems.com. Okay. Those are pretty good. But if you're looking for Windows machines, stick with Acer. Acer makes some pretty solid machines. They're pretty powerful, and like I said, they're pretty good, and they do offer, to me, they offer the more bang for the buck. Also, Acer offers Android machines, Android netbooks, so if Android's the type of approach you want to take, go ahead and go with that. Stay away from the Chrome OS machines, though, because they're really not all that great. All right. Now, Tyler B. asks, will the Linux desktop ever be as mainstream as Windows or Mac OS X? And if not, is there any operating system that is open source that can achieve that goal? Well, hate it, love it or hate it, all right? Ubuntu has done a great job with Unity, all right? And getting the Linux desktop out to the mainstream public. They have done a fantastic job of that. And, of course, there's still little quirks there and everything else. But Ubuntu, great job. Red Hat, myself, Novell, Oracle, we've all done a great job of marketing to the enterprise. But will a Linux distro ever become a mainstream consumer operating system like Windows or Mac OS X? It does not appear so at this time. Okay, and there are several reasons for that. Okay, one of the reasons why Linux is hampered with a desktop, and I'm a Linux distributor, so, you know, and I've dealt with this myself. Alright, and I've heard the questions and everything else, so, but the thing that kills the Linux desktop from becoming a mainstream general consumer operating system is choice. There's way too much choice in there. Alright? For distribution, pick one. There's 1,000 of them. Okay, which one do you take seriously enough to fulfill the job? Like I said, Ubuntu's got a head start in that. Okay, but what if somebody doesn't like Ubuntu? What if they don't like the name? What if they don't think it's cool enough? Alright, then, which one do you choose? There's 1,000 of them. There's over 1,000 of them. Now, desktop environments. Which one do you want to use? GNOME, KDE, Unity, LXDE, XFCE, one of the tiling ones, Window Maker. Which one do you want to use? All right. Packaging formats. Now, packaging formats in the Linux world, this has been a major issue. Okay, and the reason why packaging is such a major issue is because there's not one standard for it. You have .deb files, which are Debian files, which are more popular these days because of the popularity of Ubuntu. All right, then you have RPM, then you have tar.gz, and then you have what's called statically linked applications. Okay, and the problem being is that not every application provider in the Linux world provides packages. And they don't provide packages because of the different packaging formats. They don't want to get involved in that type of flame war. Okay, so that is the whole issue with Linux packaging. And then, if you're lucky, they may release the statically linked binary, which you just unzip in a folder and you run it. But in the Linux world, it gets a little bit more complicated. And without there being a standard in packaging, without there being a standard user paradigm, okay, like Ubuntu's done with Unity, like we've done with XFCE and GNOME 3, it really hampers the adoption of Linux. And these guys can't see that, and they refuse to see that. But this has been a question and a problem with the Linux world since day one. Okay, which one's going to be the best? Now, will there ever be an open source operating system that can take that mantle of being Windows or Mac OS X? Yes, Chris Moore with PCBSD. All right, PCBSD, they ship one desktop. They ship with the KDE desktop. So, bam, they've defined their user paradigm. Okay. Package installers, you got PBIs, the PBI system is an awesome system. I really think they should really work with those guys and do something similar on Linux. But once again, you're not gonna find anybody to agree anything in the Linux world, okay? But PCBSD is got one packaging format. They settle on one desktop, and Chris has done a fantastic job of making PCBSD available to a general audience, to making it as easy to use as possible. And with that, he's poised to do it, man. He could do it. But the geeks out there will never be satisfied. But for the geeks out there, I mean, you know, you still have your, if you're a FreeBSD geek, you still have your port system. You can still choose whatever desktop you want to run, whether it be GNOME 3, whether it be XFCE, whether it be LXDE, whichever one you want to run. You've got that option to run it. All right. But when we did a KDE version of Black Cloud Linux, PCBSD was a great inspiration for that. And I looked to PCBSD for a lot of... what's the word I'm looking for? Damn, I'm getting old. Methods of doing it. So, even though our KDE release was a bit of a failure, but, you know, PCBSD is doing a fantastic job. And the FreeBSD project, which PCBSD is derived from, or not derived actually, it is FreeBSD with just all the applications and friendly installers and everything on top of it. Before, FreeBSD had an issue with driver support and hardware support, and that's slowly disappearing. Okay, because, like, for example, I had an older version of PCBSD on a HP DV6000 laptop that I have, and hated the internal wireless. That thing, I could never get the internal wireless to work. I even tried some workarounds that some people put online for it, and it never worked. But with PCBSD 10, it suddenly likes the wireless. And what I did to overcome the wireless situation, just went to Tiger Direct, bought a USB adapter, plugged into the side, everything worked. It worked well, so, you know, but now I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to lug around an extra USB adapter. But their hardware support is getting better. If I had to rate on which, on where it is in comparison to Linux, I would say it's about Linux kernel 3.0. Okay, but it's getting better all the time, and it's used commercially. Where Linux, a lot of people hate the commercial aspect, and people who try to make a commercial, like me. I mean, I get a hundred emails a day on why they will not buy my product because I offer a commercial version, which is Black Lab Enterprise Desktop. PCBSD, FreeBSD, the BSD communities, that's not such an issue. They don't care. In fact, their license allows you to take it commercial, which is why Sony uses it. Sony uses it in a lot of stuff. They use it in PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4. They use it in their Blu-ray player. Samsung uses it in their TVs. You're finding it out. You're finding a lot more places, okay. And as a consultant, I actually have seen in the last 3 or 4 years, I've seen FreeBSD grow. Three or four years ago, you didn't find anybody with FreeBSD in their server farm. It was all Linux, but now you're starting to see that mix of FreeBSD and Linux. I have seen more FreeBSD Linux system. FreeBSD Linux system, more FreeBSD systems in server farms nowadays than I even did, like I said, 3 or 4 years ago. So BSD is catching up. All right, they're the little engine that could, man. You just gotta respect them for that, and they do a fantastic job. So if you're interested in that approach, try PCBSD, you know. And like I said, I use it. I use Linux as a main desktop, but I use PCBSD. I like it. I enjoy using it. It's such a joy to use that, and refreshing too. If you ever want to change, just go do that. Like, you know, there are sometimes, because I like to code for relaxation, and I hop on that machine whenever I want to just relax and not have to worry about anything. Just do dumb little programs that really don't come up with, that really are not going to do anything meaningful or worthwhile. But yeah, it's like I said, not taking anything from the Latinx community. I enjoy what I do. I love it. I've been truly blessed in my life that I have been able to do what I love to do for so long, and Linux made that possible for me to do that. And for that, I will always owe Torvalds everything. But BSD is playing catch up. They're doing a very good job of it. In some ways, they're doing a better job than Linux. In some ways, they're doing a worse job. But, you know, there's only a little bit of that. But go check it out. If you need a system with PCBSD, go ahead and go to ixsystems.com or ixsystems.org. One of the two. Just Google it, IX Systems. They have a lot of good workstations and servers that run BSD. So that's precisely where I would see the open source community going. Will Debian eventually win? With Ubuntu being so far ahead as a general consumer desktop, and like I said, I don't like Unity. There are a lot of people that don't like Unity, but the one thing Unity has done has brought a consistent user experience to the average mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, that no one else has even tried to do. And so Ubuntu or PCBSD are going to end up being the winner, and we'll see how that goes. We'll see where that rolls. Alright guys, well, that's about it for this evening. If you want to make any comments, suggestions, anything like that, drop it in the comment section below or email me. You guys got that. Until next time, thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.